guys, welcome to episode 130 of Inside the Cage, and the last of 2021. It's been a kind of long, but short, but quick, but slow year, if that makes sense.
Mate, it's been a weird year again. I'm tapping one of those ones. It's just been totally strange.
It's just mental, man. Mental. We're basically getting back into some sort of semi...
It was always going to happen. We're going to always have some sort of, what do they call it, circuit breaker or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Shite, man.
To be fair, let's be honest, you do it in January, it's not around the world. Nobody's got any money, nobody wants to go, and nobody wants to do it in January anyway, so it's probably the best month to do these things.
That's very true.
You know what I mean? So if you're going to pick a month to do it in January. So.
Yeah, how are you this week, Gilgood?
Fan-fucking-tastic, mate, how are you?
For fuck's sake, man. Says the guy who's off all week, you cheeky bastard.
Exactly why I'm fucking fantastic. It's not working, mate.
That was sarcastic as fuck, mate.
It wasn't. I'm happy. Mate, I'm on work. I'm off work for another 3 weeks. What more do I want to moan about?
All right, very good.
Nothing to moan about here, my man. Nothing to moan about here.
Good, I'm glad.
How are you? All good?
Eh, all right. Living the dream.
Recovered for your weekend yet?
Ah, it was fine. I was just knackered, man. Like, I wasn't even hanging, to be honest. I was just knackered.
I think that's what it is. The drink just affects you because you're burning the candles at both ends and you're no young anymore and you just can't deal with it.
It wasn't even that, mate, because I don't even think I was that drunk. It was just to sleep. I hardly slept.
I feel anyway that the drink doesn't allow me to sleep properly.
I don't know. It could be that, but it could have been the fact that I was on the couch and it was not great. So it could have been that.
He chose to sleep on the couch, by the way. I wasn't told to go.
Oh, yeah, I never get papped on the couch.
I had a big argument or something.
I never fell out with a wife, not yet. No, it was a choice. Yeah, it was good. Good weekend. Traipsing about Edinburgh and amongst a sea of people that it's just no need for, man. But hey.
Oh, the main bit of Edinburgh is just marrick, man. We bit down at the kids, but it was alright, but with Santa and stuff like that. That was kind of cool.
It's just a silly way to put things out, mate. It's just really strange to have it on a narrow path like that, and it just makes everything so tight. It's just silly, man.
Stupid, that's time as well. It should be spread out as much as possible. It's not as if they've not got the land in Princess Street Gardens not to do that, do you know what I mean? So,
I mean, there's hardly anybody with masks on.
No, a lot of people didn't have masks on.
Because it was outdoors. And you're talking about being, they say, try and be a metre, 2 metres apart. You know, I talk about people breathing on people, like, right next to them and stuff. It was just
as soon as we were in there, I put a mask on, and the other bit we were in, I thought it was alright, we had plenty of room, but in there I definitely, a mask was needed in that kind of area because it was just too close, too tight, you know, even just getting the cold and coughs off people. I was in Glasgow today doing a wee bit of Christmas shopping and I'm walking with my mask on and I'm thinking, I'm just going to leave this on because the fumes after traffic, the amount of people wanting about coughing and spluttering, even if it's no COVID, I just don't want a cold at this time of year. You don't want anything off people, so keep the mask on.
It can, a cold can like obviously extend into being COVID. Do you know what I mean? So
the Chinese and the Japanese do that a lot. They just walk about with masks on constantly, basically all the time, to keep themselves healthy. And I can see us eventually going to kind of similar way, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway,
I know that was a wee bit of, you know, shite. Everyday shite from your mind. Okay, let's just jump right into it then. The last review of the show. We'll look at, obviously, Fight Night, Lewis versus Dawkus. Have a wee bit mention for KSW and Roberto Soldic, and then we'll do the usual finishing with news and fight announcements. So, UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Dawkus, UFC Vegas 45, UFC on ESPN Plus 57, and UFC Fight Night 199. That's kind of gotten, man, finishing the year on 199 Fight Nights, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you think you're down 200, that'd be the best way to do it.
Yeah, but they also couldn't squeeze another one in. Headlined, obviously, by the heavyweight. Wasn't really a title eliminator, but it was certainly a top five eliminator type thing between Derek Lewis and Chris Dawkus.
We're supposed to make things sound exciting and buzzing, and I think we got the kind of worst result possible here.
To be fair, right, you and I did pick this up, and I was very much looking forward to it, but this was one thing we didn't talk about, and this was what could have happened. It could have went this way. It wasn't great. I didn't feel either guy was really... I mean, Derek Lewis was just waiting for the power, It was weird. Derek Lewis was doing his usual waiting for the counter, waiting for the strikes, and then waiting for the counter strike, but then didn't actually counter, just kind of went flying in himself once he got him against the cage. I suppose when you're against the cage, it's easy enough. But yeah, there was always a potential that this could perhaps happen, mate. Yeah.
No, obviously, that, like, you get the power that Derek Lewis has. As soon as he touches some people, man, they're fucking gone. And fair play, I think, for Dorcas, but fair to last as long as he did, because it took him fucking a good few bangs to fucking get sparked proper. But I was just so disappointed. We were all kind of looking for somebody new, probably, to come into that. I know Big Cyril's come in recently, obviously, now with the interim, he's got a big face in Ghana. But you just needed a bit of something, freshness within that top five, top six heavyweights. And I like Dorcas. I really like Dorcas, and I like what he was doing. And I'm disappointed that he couldn't take that on and take it to that next level, to be honest. And I think that's what's most disappointing for me in that respect, that we never got that. And I'm just like, oh, really? Come on. Why is the big, like, big heavy old guy still just doing it today? Like, it's just...
I think it was like kind of like young guys. Like, you look, you've got Gan. Okay, Gan's, I suppose, youngish. Miocic, Lewis, Blades are still young. But, I mean, like... new blood, as you say, fresh blood. And you look down, you've got Dawkins, you've got Aspinall, even Augusto Sakai, okay, still don't know if he's awake yet, but these guys are fresh blood, and it was a chance for Dawkins to put himself in that conversation. Okay, I still reckon he'll be waiting a bit, anybody will be waiting about a year, because Miocic is going to fly that rematch card, I think, after the fight in January. So,
I think so.
But I was a bit disappointed. I'm kind of thinking to myself, not that I'm doing Derek Lewis a disservice, but I was kind of thinking Derek Lewis is maybe on the way out. But then you think about it, mate, 36 for a heavyweight is prime.
Of course, it's like, he's not an old guy, I think. It's like any division, as soon as you get a bit of freshness in there, that's all it needed for me. You needed freshness. I think we all looked at this division, and to be honest, until Big Cyril came through, it was all a bit static. It was all a bit kind of stale and... well, just shite, to be honest. And also, before Big Cyril really made that run, and then obviously, even as much as nobody really wanted John Jones to go to heavyweight, or did want John Jones to go, however way you want to look at things, it gave it a bit of freshness. It put a bit of something different within the heavyweight division. And again, we still need that. We thought Dorcas, Aspinall, thought Big Ty's fucking on a run just now. Names like that were possibly guys who could come in and shake it up a bit. You're certain guys, your roses. The Rosenstrikes, your Volkovs, they've all hit a brick wall. They're not going to break into the top five. They're kind of just, they're proper gatekeepers, these guys. If you beat them, you're in that top four, top five fighters. Curtis Blaydes is another one for me as well. You're not going to get really, you need to beat them to get beyond that, but are they good enough to get a title? I don't know. And like I said, the likes of Dawkins, Tom Aspinall, these are the guys that are coming through that you were hoping maybe... I think everybody probably looked at one point, I mean, Chris Dawkins versus Tom Aspinall could be a heavyweight title fight at some point.
Well, I mean,
it
a
still could, of course.
Still, maybe. I mean, yeah, talking about it, right, it's like Chris Dawkins is only 4 years younger than Lewis, right? So there's not much in that. Obviously, Tom Aspinall's not the oldest, but it just would have been good for a wee bit of fresh blood right in the mix, because it's going to be the same conversation. Once Gan wins, or once Ngannou wins, whoever wins that, it's going to be, right, who's next? Miocic, Lewis, Blades, Volkov. It's going to be the same conversation we've been having for the last 3 years. Basically, since we started this pod, I think Cormier was still about then. But
DC was still about right at the start, aye.
But it was always still the same thing. It was DC, Stipe, it was DC and Ngannou, it was DC versus Lewis. You know, he fought all of these guys, do you know what I mean? So it's one of these things, mate. Like, it just feels like it's just, as you say, it was a chance for it to maybe shake off some of the staleness and freshen up the whole division. And it, I mean, not that I'm saying, I'd love to see Derek Lewis hold that belt. I don't think there'd be anybody in the world who wouldn't say they'd like to see Derek Lewis win the belt. I think it would be great. I think it'd be a great moment, but it's just, I think it's just disappointing from the point of view that it could have been, you know, it's like all the other divisions keep freshening up all the time, right? We talked about the bantamweights. The bantamweights have just gone absolutely through the roof with fresh talent and all these guys coming through. It's ridiculous. You're talking about, obviously, Giga and all that stuff coming through, and, you know, Sean O'Malley and all of these people coming through. It's crazy. In fact, Giga's a feather, isn't he? Am I talking shite? Aye, sorry. Same thing. But you know what?
You know what I mean? You've got your names. You've got, like, Divisville coming through, O'Malley, Ricky Simone at the weekend, Big Wee Song Yudong, stuff like that. You've got the guys who are coming in and freshening things up. Same with your lightweights, obviously, so it's Khabib Webb. Look at him in that top 10 lightweights now, man. Half of the guys weren't there a year ago. It freshens it up, whereas you look at the top five, top six heavyweights, apart from Cyril Gann last year, it was probably the exact same five, six guys.
It's funny, like, I think the sport in general has come a long way, because the heavyweights and the light heavyweights and the middleweights, that was it. That was your guys. That was how this sport started. That's how these guys heavyweights. That's why Brock Lesnar is so famous, and all these guys are so famous, because it was basically based around these big lump of boys smashing each other. Whereas now it's kind of going the other way. It's about your mid range, your best three divisions in the UFC are your feather, your bantam, and your light. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's even. I suppose you even look at it. Look at the light heavyweight champion. Light heavyweight champion's a 42-year-old guy. So I think from a new fan point of view, right? And I hate using the C word, but maybe from a casual point of view, I definitely think you're going to be much more interested in watching Aljamain Sterling versus Petr Yan than you are watching Jan Blachowicz versus Jiří Procházka. So I think it's a similar thing for the heavyweights. Was anybody really that bothered about Lewis versus Dawkins? Probably not, but I think, as you say, fresh blood would be good to freshen up. I suppose the light heavyweights are slightly different. You've got Prochaska, you've got Rakic. We did have obviously Johnny Walker coming through at one point, and Kalaev
as well.
Yeah. But then again, we had these young talents coming through, and then they all faltered. Reyes faltered, Uzdemir faltered, Walker faltered.
Probably the closest divisions in middleweight. You look at middleweights, and they five top six names haven't really changed. Sean Strickland's probably the newest name on that.
Yeah.
Since last year, I don't think there's many different. I know Kevin Holland is a wee run at one point, but he was never going to go far, do you know what I mean? But that top six, top seven, maybe even top 10, apart from Sean Strickland, hasn't really changed for the last year. And I feel like the heavyweights are very similar. And I just felt like Chris Dawkins was doing so well. Tom Aspinall was there as well. I really wanted these two to push in, make that top six, just shake it up a bit, because there's two of them. You wouldn't look at Chris Dawkins and then go, oh, fuck's sake, he's a heavyweight. But he is a big boy.
He's a big lad.
But he's not I wouldn't say he was... Like Tom Aspinall, as much as he's 6 foot fucking 14 or whatever he is, he doesn't look like a heavyweight. No. Heavyweight old days look like what Derek Lewis does, or what, that type of thing. Yeah, that's what a heavyweight used to look like, and these guys coming through now are a lot more svelte, a lot more fitter, a lot more refined people. And
you could say that, you know, your man... I was going to say he's like a dying breed, you know, the big heavy guy, but then you look at Ty and you look at Sakai, and we'll talk about another one later. You know, big heavy guys that, you know, look like heavyweights. I don't know, man. We're getting so far away from the actual fight. But there was nothing really to talk about in the fight, to be honest.
I don't think many people, not that we're not surprised, but it was just disappointing, the result we got. I think more than anything else, that's what it is. I think if Chris Dawkins had beat Derek Lewis, everybody'd have been like, fuck yes. And probably would, a lot of people would, as much as Stipe will probably want his rematch. See, after that, Chris Dawkins could be your guy. That's probably how close Chris Dawkins could have been here if he'd beaten Derek Lewis. And that would have given that freshness and that guy in a title fight who's not been the same three, four, five guys over the last couple of years. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's what it needed, and we never got that. And aye, disappointment. But anyway, we'll move on, and hopefully big Tom Aspinall will come through and just start every cut anyway.
No, let's hope so.
Let's hope so. That's what I want for. He's my man, though.
I mean, this card overall, obviously, 10 finishes. The joint, well, the UFC class it as a joint third, but for me, it's joint second because the record's 11. So, 10 finishes and 13 fights was something.
I wondered what the most fucking missed weights was in fucking one card, to be honest, because that's going to have been fucking far away.
Well, I mean,
three missed weights. And what makes it worse, probably, is two of them were the heaviest weights in the female and male divisions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about it, because this is going to be like 20 minutes, because I'm fuming about one of them. Macy Shear, I'm a big advocate for it's professional, you should make your weight right. Macy Shearson was last minute. She normally fights at 135. She obviously said there was no way she would make 135. That's the only thing that maybe makes me think it was still a shit move. Because obviously this fight was supposed to be at 135, as far as I know. And it got cancelled, obviously, because Avia couldn't make it. So Macy couldn't get to 145, which is disappointing. But hey ho, she obviously tried for whatever reason, didn't make it. That's fine. Eubanks, I mean, why Eubanks went back to flyweight? I know this is her second fight back at flyweight, but why she went back after missing weight the first time is beyond me. I know
she's she's
struggled at bantam because she's not the biggest. She's very small. She's 5'4". I mean, bantams are bigger than that, you know, not by much, but she's maybe struggled for form. So she lost two in a row at bantam and thought, right, fuck it, I'm going back down to fly. Went, got to fly, beat Elise Reed, and then missed weight this time. So who knows? Again, just one of these things for me, mate. I just wish they wouldn't. And I just don't know what to say about Justin Taffer, man. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I just don't. I know he's a big laddie, right? I know he's a big laddie. And I'm a big lad too, right? So I fully understand it's extremely difficult to lose the weight. But when it's your job and it's your job to make that limit and to be the only guy ever to miss heavy, it's just nuts, man.
What? Yeah, it's just fucking madness that you could miss the heavyweight limit, but at the same time, it's fucking heavyweight. Why? I'm not saying we shouldn't have a limit because obviously you don't want 350-pound guys going in and fucking fighting guys who are 210-pound type thing. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'm trying to get at.
Well, I've always kind of wondered, like, because you go, the 205 limit is there for a reason, right? But then above that, anything above 205, and you have to fight a guy who's potentially 265 pounds. So if I weigh in, if I can't get any lower than 220 as a fighter, I have to fight a guy potentially 265. So although I see your point, let's make it a bigger. I think they need another. I think they need like a cruiserweight or a, maybe bring the heavyweight down and make a super heavyweight. I don't know how it works, mate. Guys like Tom Aspinall, you know, guys like Tom Aspinall could maybe fight. I mean, Thingy, Dawkins was 230 something, I think. So again,
he's the kind of guy that I'm thinking when you're thinking.
Him and Tom as the kind of guys I'm thinking they could fight maybe a wee bit lower, and you let your guys like Taff maybe have like a 280, 300 pound limit. I mean, listen, I find it frustrating, mate. I know there is a couple of guys who cut weight. I'm sure Sakai used to be one of them. Sakai used to be one that actually cuts weight to get to heavyweight, which I still think is mental. But hey, listen, some of these guys are huge. And Justin Taff.
Like, I used to do it.
Who?
Derek Lewis, I'm sure you used to have to cut weight to me.
There was a couple, mate. I mean, Justin Taffer's not that big, you know, 6 foot, so he's not very big. But can I just say one thing, right?
Aye.
To knock somebody out with a head kick through the guard.
The power behind that was incredible. How you do that, I don't fucking know.
I mean, people, that won't be on anybody's list for knockout of the year, right? It won't be. Simple as that. Won't be anywhere near it. Won't even be in the discussion, but it fucking should be because there's not been a knockout like that all year. And by far, it had the most power of any knockout you'll see all year. He smashed, the guy had his guard up and he still knocked the guy out.
A heavyweight with a head kick is quite an impressive feat in the first place, never mind anything else.
Well, never mind a heavyweight with a head kick. A heavyweight that weighs 267 fucking pounds with a leg kick. And his legs like that,
that's a big leg to get up to somebody's head.
Mate, one of his legs probably weighs as much as you do. On that sense, it was great. Obviously, I still hate the fact that he missed weight at heavyweight. I think it's just ridiculous. But, hey-ho, we're not pro fighters. We don't know what it takes. Get all that stuff. But as an opinion, from my point of view, I just think it was just fucking ridiculous, man. But, hey-ho.
It was, mate. It was mental that you can miss heavyweight. I just don't get that myself. But I suppose it's a pound, but at the same time, it's still a fucking pound at the end of the day.
That's true. Let's run through the finishes, seeing as we started with Taffer there. So, you want to start at the bottom, work your way up, or you want to start at the top, work your way down, or?
Might as well go top to bottom.
We'll skip Bilal and Lemos. I mean, Ricky Simon looked very good, to be fair.
He did look very good, but I think at this moment in time is what are you fighting in Rafael Assunção anymore?
Oh yeah,
I think
I get that, but I don't know. He's still a legend, mate. Like he's still got, as I said to you the weekend.
39, he's still, lost 4 in a row.
Aye, but he's lost to Marlon Moraes, Sandhagen, Garbrandt. You know what I mean? He's lost to 3 of the top 10 bantams in the world.
I'll put it a different way. He's Cody Garbrandt's only won in the last fucking 5 years or something.
Aye, I know. And it was that one punch. I know. But then, see again, seeing that fight, see, those two rounds. It was a close fight and it was a good fight. Okay, there's maybe not much to say against Cody, but aye, listen, it's not fighting much, mate, but he's still a legend and he's still a name and he's still in the ranking. So for Ricky to put on that kind of performance, I think was quite good, and it was a great finish. I just love watching Ricky Simone. He never stops moving. He's very good. I think the loss to Faber and Font really kind of kicked him back.
Yeah, he was on a wee tear at first, wasn't he? He had that wee run when he first kind of came on. And
I mean, he choked Merab out. I mean, that's nuts.
That's tremendous. Good win against Montel Jackson. Remember that? Yeah, that's good wins.
That was on the buzzer, remember? It was the 5th minute of the 3rd round, mate. It was literally right on the buzzer and he choked him out. It was like after the bell, he was lying there out, remember?
Yeah, it was. I couldn't get up to something like that. I remember it now.
Absolutely mental. So, I mean, I like Ricky Simone, so hopefully he'll push on and push up those rankings. We were talking about the bantamweight rankings. In fact, you know, you mentioned them. You mentioned those rankings that have just been updated. You know, you've got O'Malley from last week. O'Malley, Simone, Yadong, all sitting at the bottom end of that 15. So they're all going to hopefully make a push. Oh, man. I'm sorry, right? I said it when he joined, because he was a champ, right? I said he was legit, and I kind of got put back in my box when he got beat by Cutoladze, the split decision. But Matheus Gamrot is the man, by the way. Like, seriously, he's an absolute killer. Like, stone cold, man. Amazing.
He looked good. I'm no guy that I don't know what it was or something missing for me. I know he got the finish and all that, and that was all great and brilliant. But there was just something missing for me, and I'm not sure quite what it was. I'm trying to...
He's always been a bit like that. I actually think male Polish fighters, right, so hear me out, are a bit like that. You think of Krzysztof Jotko, something missing. You think of Aleksejczyk. We loved Aleksejczyk. We were a big Nika Aleksejczyk. We were raving about him. Again, something missing. Okay, other than Jan, I can't really think of anybody else, but... You see what I mean? Like, it seems to be there's maybe just something, just I don't know what it is. Maybe it'll come, mate. Maybe it'll come. I mean,
possibly. I think when you look at that division and the division that he is in, I think there's something missing to get him really to that top level in the UFC. Now, I could be totally wrong. I'm 100% accept that if I'm totally wrong, I'm totally wrong. He's now 12th in the rankings. But looking ahead of him, I don't know. There's like, and even like the knee, right? It's a brilliant wee knee, but did they actually mean to finish him with the knee, if that makes sense? He done it just as a wee.
He wasn't aiming to break the guy's ribs or do whatever it is he did, but he did something. And
of course he did.
It's all about taking a chance.
Brilliant from that respect, aye. But
I'm not saying, mate, that he's going to run up that lightweight fucking rankings and smash MD at the top. And he said it himself. He said, listen, 2023 is my year to aim for it. He says, I've got a year to put myself in the right position, and then I've got 2023 to try. And I like that. I like the fact that he's taking his time. There's killers in front of him. He's got Fiziev in front of him, Gillespie, Hooker. Dan Hooker, yeah. He's dropping down, Ferg. I mean, but there's loads of guys in front of him that he could fight. But then again, there isn't as many guys as what you think, because Tony Ferguson, we're not sure what's happening with him. McGregor, not sure what's happening with him. RDA, not sure what's happening with him. The rest of the guys at the top are all busy, so it may not take him as long as what he thinks. I like the fact that he's saying it will take him a year, because it means he's thinking about taking it slow and just fighting people, which is good. But I thought it was good, man. He wasn't outstanding, I agree with you, but I just like watching him. I just think he's quite good to watch.
I think the guys outside of that top 10, or maybe take McGregor and Ferguson out of it, they've all got something missing for me, and I don't know what it is with the guys.
He's
Gillespie, Fiziev, Gamrot, Riddell, they're all got something just missing, and I don't know quite what it is.
He's had 3 performance bonuses in 4 fights, mate.
No, mate, I'm not denying what he's done and what he's and who's taken out so far and the body of work that a man has got, but I'm just making an opinion on what I think going forward and where I think he might go, or in my opinion, might not go, which is a shame, because probably from the first fight, even the Cutoladze fight, he still looked tremendous in that fight. Like, he lost a split division, and he looked really, really good when he first came through. Obviously, came for KSW, double champ, 17-0. What more does the fucking guy want? Do you know what I mean? So, he looks like an absolute legend, and hopefully he'll go on to be that way. I'm hoping that he turns out to be what we want him to be, but there was just something missing for me. But you never know, mate. You never know.
Yeah. What about Cub Swanson?
He looked sharp, didn't he, man? I thought he looked really, really sharp. Looked confident as well in himself. And everything just looked...
Proper sniping, mate. It was tremendous. That's the Cub Swanson I remember. That's the Cub Swanson that I picked to beat Shane Burgos way back when. You know, beat Giga Chikadze. Well, I'll probably pick Chikadze, to be fair. But that's the Cub Swanson I remember. I mean, did you hear his post-fight interview?
I heard that, said I.
So they're building a 10,000 stadium in Palm Springs by the end of next year, and he wants to fight there. He's also talking about dropping to 135. I cannot see how he gets to 135, but then we said that about Aldo getting to 135, but I don't know, man, I just can't see it.
I think, as a guy, he's not the biggest. What is he, 5'7"? It's not huge. So is it possible? It must be possible. If he's talking about doing it.
5'7"? Fuck me.
If he's talking about doing it, I would imagine he was done what kind of basically Dan Hooker's done. He must have tried to run it at some point and make sure that he could make it. There's no point in coming out with all these things, I want to do this, I want to do that, if you've not had a kind of wee go at making it before you even try. So I'd imagine if that's 135 is what he wants to do, then he'd make, you know. But
if he can make it, mate, great. Did not know his name was Kevin.
No, me neither.
It's I can ask you. It totally takes the edge off, doesn't it? What's your name?
Kevin. I can beat Kevin at the weekend. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Brilliant. I mean, still loads to go through here, but we've talked about Taffa. Mearshart rescuing a defeat.
Probably on points. Aye, definitely goes. But in fact, we went a full way. There's no doubt that Paul Woodhouse and the Dolphins is probably walking away with a wee win bonus in his back pocket. But that's what happens with Gerald Mearshart, isn't it? He's got that. The man has got something. He's got that game. He's always had that. And if you can avoid it, then you're probably going to beat him. But when somebody's got 31, 32 wins and 34 fights or something, 32 right. finishes, sorry, 34
it's,
fights.
Aye, it's like 32 wins, 31 finishes or something like that. Something stupid.
Aye, there you go. 32 finishes and 34 wins.
Yeah, that's nuts, man.
That's a fucking mental record. And weirdly, I never actually thought I was about to say this, but Gerald Mearshart is on a 3-fight run, winning run.
Mate, he was on... Oh, well, he's never been on a better run, to be fair. I mean,
that's probably his best record in the UFC, I think. I don't think he's... That's probably his best run in the UFC to this day.
That's his best run in the UFC. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it was class from Gerald. But it's that opportunity. You just give him that opportunity, and he takes it. Did he not do the same to Hermanson? Oh, he lost to Hermanson. It was Hermanson that grabbed him. Sorry, I got confused there. But he's done it before, mate. He takes his opportunities when he's got to. Aye, it was great. I thought it was brilliant.
Aye, fair play to Big Jerry. Fucking went with that one, man.
For rescuing it. Right, let's talk about the two decisions on the main card, because one of them is, like, utterly devastating. And one of them was a wee bit controversial. Where do you want to start?
I think the Tomo one's got to be quick again, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm so gutted, man.
Mate, I was devastated myself.
He's one of my guys, man. He's one of these guys that I just adore watching, man. Like, I feel like Ortega, who I love, Thompson, and obviously Big Gustafson, these were the three guys that basically I was just utterly obsessed with straight off the bat in MMA, and it's so hard to watch one of your favourite fighters get kind of destroyed like that. Muhammad's relentless.
He is, mate. He's 100%. 100%. It's just that this should be more about Bilal Muhammad than it should be about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But I feel like we're going to talk about more about Thompson than we're fucking Muhammad. Yeah. It's just so disappointing, man. Like, you expect so much with Thompson. Like, he's never been the biggest finisher in the world. We know that. But he goes out and he just punches fuck out of somebody's face for 15 minutes or 25 minutes usually, whatever it is. And it's no very... Obviously, he's no lost a lot of fights in his fucking career. Doesn't he look great now, mind you, because he's lost four of his last seven or something. Five of his last eight, sorry. So that doesn't look great, but you know what you're going to get for Steven? You know what you're going to get for Wonderboy? And obviously, he just couldn't deal with it, man. He couldn't deal with the pressure that Muhammad kind of put him under. And boom, there's your dinner.
It's the same thing that happened to him with Gilbert Burns as well, though. Similar thing. Gilbert Burns wrestled him, took him down, and that was it, mate. It's just one of these things.
Let's be honest. If you can catch Tomo, there's a recipe there to beat him, basically. That's the thing. There's a plan there. There's always going to be, because that's the game.
I hate the thing one-dimensional, right? Because I think you can't be successful in this sport with just one dimension, because there's so many dimensions. But he is probably the closest thing to one-dimensional, Tomo, that there is. He's
just a kickboxer. That's all he is. He's just a pure and utter bred karate kickboxing type guy. Yeah. That's all he is. He's never done anything else to his game. He's never needed to have anything else to his game, let's be honest.
No.
Weirdly, he's got one submission victory on his card, which is the most shocking thing. That, don't get me wrong, it was fucking 11 years ago and Fight Party Greenville Cage Fighting 2, but he still got it on his record.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
he's a brown belt, so it's not as if he doesn't know how to do it. Do you know what I mean?
But fuck, it's a first degree black belt.
He's a first degree black belt in actual jiu-jitsu, like the Japanese version. So like, it's not as if he doesn't know. So you've got to ask yourself a question, like, is it maybe just he spent so long training fists and feet that he just doesn't really know how to do it? I don't know, man. I'm just gutted. Listen, Bilal Muhammad is legit. He's definitely a threat to anybody in that top division, unless the person is bound to stay on their feet. I reckon there's two guys that would destroy him, Usman and Colby, because their wrestling is fucking ridiculous, and they can both punch like fuck, so I reckon they would destroy Muhammad. But other than that, I'd love to see him run the Edwards fight back. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be good. Never going to happen, but that would be good.
Would be good.
For Muhammad now, fuck, you're looking at Lukey, aren't you, probably, or Burns, that's what you're looking for now. But as you say, Burns, Colby, they're probably going to, not ragdoll him as such, but they're just not, he's not quite at that level, I don't think.
Well, maybe not so much Burns. I reckon it would give Burns a good game. I think Usman and Colby would mash him, but I don't know. No. I guess we'll find out soon enough. Next year's going to be very interesting, all these divisions, obviously, we'll talk about that next time, but
I'll be interesting here for Muhammad anyway. I think Bilal going forward anyway.
Will be. Right, the last thing to talk about is probably, it wasn't massively controversial, but it certainly wasn't how I scored the fight, if I'm honest with you. Amanda Lemos beating Angela Hill by unanimous split decision. It wasn't the worst I've ever seen, but
It wasn't the worst decision I've ever seen in giving Amanda Lemos the win. I wasn't ever arguing with that. What I was arguing probably more about was the 30-27 that one of the judges gave to Lemos. I don't know what planet that judge seen that. Must have disappeared to the toilet at one point. Must have fooled around and went, well, boom, I'll just give that to fucking Lemos.
That second round, Lemos had her back against the cage for at least, 2.5-3 minutes? At least half it.
There was no doubt Andrew Hill won that fucking second round. That's the one you give to Andrew Hill 100% of the week. You know what I mean? I don't understand. Douglas Crosby, I don't understand what Mr. Dougie Crosby was seeing at that point.
Well, I did a wee bit of digging, right?
Go for it.
And I think, if I remember rightly, I should have loaded this and looked at it again, right? But I'm pretty sure he's been on the right side of the decisions. Okay, you can't tell if it was the wrong decisions, right? But this year, he's only scored one fight for the losing fighter, and that was Ponzinibbio against Neil last week. Every other fight he has scored this year has been for the winning fighter. Now, you could say, oh, well done, congratulations, but if the winning fighter didn't deserve it, then fine. But out of that, I don't imagine there's going to be many there's always going to be some that are very clear cut. There's going to be ones in there that a guy ragdolls a guy for three rounds, and it's the easiest 30-27 you'll ever see in your life, by the way. But it was interesting. I just thought it was an interesting stat, because looking at it and you see, for example, he scored Nama Yunus Jang 3-2 for Nama Yunus.
Yeah.
So it was close. I mean, that was a close fight. So I don't know. He maybe had a bad night. Maybe he wasn't paying attention in the middle round, and he just put, I don't know, mate. You're never going to know. These guys are never going to admit it. It was a bad score. To be fair, I actually think, talking about dodgy scores, the guy who gave Muhammad Thompson 30-25, there wasn't two 10-8s in there. You're lucky if there was one. There was one round where I thought, yeah, okay, I'd give that a 10-8, but the other two I wouldn't have at all, and this guy gave two. I was quite shocked at that.
I thought 30-25 was a bit over the top myself. I'd probably agree with you. If you were getting maybe one 10-8 round, I maybe would have done that, but I don't think there was definitely two. There wasn't two 10-8 rounds.
But yeah, see what happens going forward. Angie Hills always takes these kind of knocks, man. She just gets on with it and keeps going. She's just a class act. It's just a shame her record reads the way it does, because I think she's a really good fighter.
I think she just lacks that wee bit of power, I think, Angie, at times. Yeah. She can hit you and hit you for days and hit you for hours and hit you. I think sometimes her issue might be a lot of the time the damage doesn't show on the other fighter as much. So a lot of these judges maybe making decisions on damage, and if you don't see any damage, are you doing anything? If Angie Hill's coming out there with cuts and fucking lacerations out of her face, and the other girl's coming out nearly scot-free, but she's fucking been punched her cunt in for fucking 5 minutes, and it's a bit.
Yeah.
I think she needs that wee bit of power, I think, to really take on to the next level. It was not a bad loss to Amanda Lemos, because I think you said yourself, you had Hill winning the fight, and I wouldn't have argued if somebody gave the Hill winning the fight, to be honest. So we see him at split decisions on Angie Hill's record though, man. Fucking hell, what's that, 5 I can see already. So yeah. mental man.
Yeah, totally forgot what was one thing. Charles Jourdan, amazing.
Yeah, he was spot on, wasn't he? He was absolutely spot on. Really, really good performance. We missed last week that Wonder Girl was stepping up, weren't he, for bantamweight.
Mm-hmm.
But we missed that. That wee nugget. I don't know what the fucking word I'm looking for is, but we missed that last week. But aye, brilliant for Charles Jourdan. Superb performance, man. Really, really good.
Love Charles Jourdan, man. Love watching him. He's brilliant to watch, man. He's class.
I think did I hear them right saying he's actually not got a contract at this moment in time or something like that?
He basically is a contract.
I think his contract ended after the fight against Rosa or something like that. Then they gave him another fight deal, one fight deal or something like that. So I don't know. I need to read a wee bit more into it, but I'm sure they were saying something about basically he's a new deal. Basically, he's not got a deal with the UFC at this moment in time. So.
Well, they called out Cub Swanson, so he must feel confident he's going to get one.
Well, I'd imagine after that kind of performance, I definitely. He's a good fighter, Charles Jourdan. He's good to watch as well, do you know what I mean? He's good to watch, so.
Right, okay. Well, that's our final review of the year done and dusted.
Just that, one just, thing. I know obviously we're kind of thinking to Eubanks, but see the Marcel Gatto's finish for that kick, by the way, they've toes right into the fucking liver. That was fucking sensational. Remember, we kind of missed over that because we thought of Eubanks.
It looked like kind of in the middle rather than actually at a liver, like right under the ribs, you know. It looked like it was more like near the solar plexus.
Seen a technical level, it was an absolutely sensational kick. I've got to say.
That's why people kick there. That's exactly what they're aiming for, that kick. That was like literally, if you were going to show a relatively new MMA fighter, like this is why we do the front kick, which is video, and that's the video you would show people, mate. It was class.
Definitely.
Yeah. So before we move on to news and fight announcements, shout out for Roberto Soldic, who beat Mam. Did you see before? Like I sent you the clip of the knockout, right? Did you actually look at like any other pictures for the fight or anything like that?
No, not a chance. I've literally seen nothing but the knockout.
The size difference between these two, mate.
Huge.
Oh, mate, Khalidov looked absolutely massive. I mean, he's only 6 foot, but he's a big, big laddie, man. He's a big boy. Obviously, Soldic is traditionally a welterweight. But, mate, I'm just... If you haven't seen this, by the way, right? If you haven't seen this KO, type into Twitter or whatever, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Soldic knockout. I had to watch it 4 times, and I still don't even think I know how he hit him. I didn't even see the punch. It was that fast. I don't know how a guy that big can have that kind of speed, mate, to be honest, but different class.
Mate, it's a sensational knockout. Absolutely sensational, as you say. It was one of those ones that was that quick. I think it was a left hand bunter.
Mm-hmm.
left hand was that quick that you actually struggled to see it. I think they slowed it down in the clip that I seen, and that's the only way you could actually fucking see it because it was that quick. Sensational, brilliant thing. There's not been many people in. Probably you can't keep me counting your two hands. The amount of people that have actually been 2-weight world champions within their own organisations. So,
well, then I mean, I don't know how many have done it at KSW, but there's not been that many. Obviously, in UFC, there's not been that many in Cage Wars. Obviously, I know Gamrot did it in KSW, but listen, he's headed for the UFC now. It has to. I think that'll be it, mate. To be honest, I can't see anything.
I'd like to think so. I think, especially now that he has a 2-weight world champion, you've got to give him that.
It's not. I was just about to say. I was going to link there. I was kind of saying like he will go to UFC, but it's not what he wants. Have you seen what he wants? Have you heard what he said this week?
No.
He wants to step up and beat Narkin for the light heavyweight belt. Become a triple champion. I love the balls on this guy, man.
Mate, fair play, man. If he's making his dough in KSW as well, and he's not really that arse about going anywhere, then fucking bar in, my man.
He might be quite happy, you know, it's near home. Do you know what I mean? He can probably get from Croatia to.
I think he fights out of Germany or something like that. So
it's no far, do you know what I mean? I'm not sure I'd be wanting to fight a 6'3" Polish guy who actually last fought at heavyweight for the title. Oh, that was him. And you knew that name. He stepped up to fight De Vries for the title and lost it.
Aye. Anyway, interesting, mate. Interesting.
Shout out to Roberto Soldic. Anyway, moving swiftly on, Mark, let's have your fight announcements and news for this week, please.
Right, we'll go with our wee fight of the week, fight announcement of the week, we'll go with, shall we say. I'm going to start off with Marlon Moraes versus Song Yadong.
Absolutely tremendous fight.
Mate, sensational fight. Hopefully it is Marlon Moraes as such, because obviously he's been a bit shit
cold
late, to be honest. Probably the best words for it. Great challenge for Song Yadong. He's been one of the up and coming guys in that bantamweight division for
ever.
Aye, it feels like forever. I feel like we've been talking about him since the start of the show, and that was about nearly three and a half years ago.
But then at the same time, this will be good to see how good he actually is, because I'm still not actually convinced. I remember watching his first couple of fights, or that one where he smashed somebody, Alejandro Perez, knocked him out with one punch, remember? It was fucking unbelievable. And ever since then, he's had a couple of, he had a draw, decisions, a split decision. Okay, beat Julio Arce quite well, but before that, I just, mate, we'd like to see him this time.
As if there's something missing him, I don't quite know what that is. But he's got that power, and if he's got that power, then you can always fucking spark somebody out. There's always that opportunity to do that. So anyway, that's an absolute beauty of a fight being announced next week. I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy to announce that one. Another one which I really like the sound of. I can't even pronounce either of these girls' names.
Mariana Moroz versus Agapova.
Thanks, mate. Thank you very much for saving me that.
Moroz versus Agapova.
I think that's a tremendous fucking matchup as well, man. That's UFC 272, when will that be, March as well? So, I think that'll be a tremendous fight. And also, there's a wee bit of personal tension between the two of them, stuff like that.
They're both Eastern European, aren't they?
Yeah, well, obviously.
One's Kazakhstani and one's Ukrainian, so there's a wee bit of maybe something there. That'd be good, man.
I think they used to train together at one point, so there was a bit of fallout and stuff like that as well. So that could be interesting. It could be a very, very, very fun fight to watch. What else did we have? Where are we? Derek Brunson, Jerry Carney has been moved. That's going from 270 to 271. So that is happening. Another fight I really like the sound of, and was a close second, to be honest, for fight announcement of the week, was Pat Sadimi versus Gavin Tucker. I think that's fucking tremendous.
Sabatini versus Tucker has got fire written all over it, man.
I think that is fucking sensational, by the way. That's a great bit of matchmaking. Whoever's done that's fucking deserved a pay rise, in my opinion. Cause
See, I think that would be my that'd be my fighting announcement week, to be honest with you, but brilliant.
It was a close second, mate. I'm not going to deny that for a minute. What else we've got? Johnny Walker looks slightly to felt Jamal Hill, and obviously I think Jamal called him out after his last fight, didn't he? So an interesting fight, man. It'd be a good fight, that. Fucking two guys just wants to stand and throw bombs at each other, hopefully.
It'll be a good fight. That'll be an interesting. I thought Paul Craig was going to fight Johnny Walker again. I thought they would remake that, but
I don't know what's next for Big Paul. I feel like he's been fucking missed out here. What's happening?
Well, I'll be fighting in London in March, obviously. They've obviously just told him, listen, you can fight. They probably offered him maybe a fight, maybe December, January, and then they've said, well, listen, we're going to actually be going to London in March, if you want that. And he'll be like, aye, all right.
Well, if that's happening, then it'll be fucking the world, is it?
Oh, I know, fuck. I know.
The only other fight announcement of the week really was the middleweight title fight in Bellator.
Yeah.
Booked for February 25th. Mr. Van Zandt's getting his chance against Gregor Mousasi.
You mean Mr. Vanderford?
Aye, obviously. I was just
being playful. You said we were going to stop calling him that.
Yeah, I know. I was just taking a pass. I was being playful, right, leave me alone.
Listen, it's an up-and-comer who's 11-0. He's a legit threat. He's a legit talent fighting one of the best middleweights ever, maybe.
Arguably,
there's a lot of good middleweights in the past. You know, obviously GSP fought at middleweight and stuff like that, and obviously Bisping, things like that. But I think in terms of longevity and fights and who he's fought and belts he's held and stuff like that, I think Mousasi is just a bit of a legend, to be fair. So yeah, class fight, mate. That'd be really, really good.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he gets it done, to be honest. I think he's a very, very good fighter. I just don't know if he's on kind of Mousasi's level. As you say, Mousasi was a bit of a legend, really, isn't he, man? He's been there, done it, got the t-shirt as such. So I'd be surprised, but here, I won't fault it. I think we spoke about him straight from the start. As soon as I kind of first seen him, we were like, we were quite high on him. We always thought he was going to go far. Yes, we used to be quite playful and call him Mr. Van Zandt and stuff like that, and basically take the piss out a wee bit. But here, fair play. He's done the hard graft. He's done the hard work, and he's got his title fight, and it's well deserved after all the hard work he's done.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely well deserved. Let's just see how it goes.
Only really three things left for me. Obviously spoke about Kevin Lee being released not that long ago. He's now signed with Khabib's Eagle FC. I think they're going to make their debut in America soon, if I remember correctly. Did I read that right? Am I making that up?
Yeah, it's in March, I think. It's EFC 44, I'm sure it is. And I'm sure it's March.
No. January, there's a card in January on 28th January in Miami.
It's headlined by Spong versus Karatonov. Ray Borg's on that card, Renan Barrow as well. Wow.
Rashad Evans is actually signed to Eagle FC as well, so there's quite a few big names, man, over there. So he's
Radzibov. Did he know Loic Radzibov? Is that the boy for PFL?
The name definitely rings a bell.
Did he win the title? No. Oh, did he not lose the title? Aye. He got beat by Roush Manfield. Remember he was smashing... Oh, no. Wait, I don't know. I'm talking shite. But I'm sure he was in that. They knew he was there for something, but... Yeah. He's definitely been in the PFL before.
He's obviously making a wee go at things, Khabib, anyway. Do you know what I mean? He's obviously wanting to fucking push this as far as he can. So, aye. Fair play to him.
He fought for the lightweight title this year in PFL, like Radzibov, so that's a bit of a signing for him as well, for Khabib. So yeah, all going pretty good for him, to be fair.
Yeah, it looks like he's as much as a legend as a fighter, it looks like he'd be even better as a coach and a fucking promoter, that's right. We'll finish on Gedalia.
Yeah. Claudia Gadelha has announced her retirement from fighting. Not necessarily from MMA, she's doing other things now, but she said after her last fight, she had quite a bad concussion. She ended up rushed to the hospital twice. in the weeks after the fight. She had bad anxiety. She was headaches that felt like knives were being stuck in her head. It sounded horrific, to be fair. If you haven't watched the video, I would suggest you do. It's funny, right? Me and Mark talked about it, and I said I would do a bit of digging into it, and I thought, right, she's just had a concussion. And I was finding myself actually quite emotional listening to her, man. It was... she's not sad at all. She's very happy. She says she made the right decision. She says when she started back training, she had constant fear of getting punched in the, like, hit in the head. And she said that was it, the anxiety of getting hit in the head. She just couldn't, she was like, it wasn't worth it.
If you've and, got that fear and it's something that you just can't deal with, then yeah, it's definitely time to call it a day at that point.
You can't have fear when you're going into fight somebody, you can't have that. And I think she's a smart enough listening to her. I didn't realise her English was so good. I always had in my head that Gadea was one of the Brazilians who didn't speak English, but her English is unbelievable.
She's been in the UFC for a long time, do you know what I mean? So
I know, but so is Charles Oliveira, and he can't speak it. So
that's a fair point, aye.
I don't know, I had in my head she's one of the last that didn't speak it, but when she started speaking English, her English is tremendous. So I would highly recommend, if you've not seen the video, go watch it on Instagram. It was quite emotional. But she's employed by the UFC to basically help up-and-coming Brazilian talent come through the ranks, and translation and living in America and stuff like that, and doing stuff like that, I think. So that's a pretty good thing that the UFC have kind of said to her, listen, there's a job here for you if you want it. I think that's pretty cool. So
that's she's happy. I'll put my fair eye, that's really good that they've done that.
She made the right decision for her. She's happy. So at the end of the day, that's all that matters. She's no unwell. She's just decided it's time. So I'm glad, mate, because when you hear people are retiring because of concussion, you think, fuck, are they really, like, are they in a bad way? But nah, all good, man. It was a good.
That's good, man. That's good. Glad to hear it. I think that's pretty much me, mate. Unless you want to talk about what?
Unless you want to talk about what? Go on.
Say it. I dare you.
What?
Go on, say it. Come on.
Then I like to talk about booking Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier.
All right. I thought you were going to talk about something else. Yeah, I'm not into that at all.
Okay.
But that's fine.
So, cool.
Although, did you see the video of Nate Diaz making the guy shout himself and spill his pint? Honestly, one of the best things I've seen on Twitter in a long time. It's just how drastic the guy's, like, crapping himself is. He proper shits himself. Like, proper absolutely keeks it, man. Oh,
must have been, like, so two pints or something like, because the amount of liquid that went up there, God. Unbelievable.
It was a big, massive drink, whatever it was, whether it was lager or
beer. Honestly, absolutely sensational.
It was
lovely. I just love him for that. Dude. I don't give a fuck about anything else he does in life. I just love Nate Diaz with that video.
I know. What I thought you were going to talk about there was Tyron Woodley, and I was like,
like to talk about Tyron Woodley?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we didn't talk about it before. We haven't talked about them. I don't even want to mention their names, but I don't know, mate. I don't know. There's loads of rumours getting about and stuff that it was all set up and all that, and it's just not worth it.
I think the first reason why we wouldn't talk about it is because even if it was a serious conversation, it's boxing and no MMA, so the only fact that Tyron Woodley was involved in it was probably the only reason to even think about talking about.
Cool. Well, fuck it then. We'll talk about it in, because I don't want to talk about it really anyway.
That's fine. I'm happy not to talk about it either.
Good man. Right, is that you?
Yeah. Game over.
Well, that's another year done for Inside the Cage. I know I thank you at the end of every show anyway, but a massive thank you to everybody this year who has listened. Whether you listened for 10 seconds and think we talk shite and put it off, I honestly don't care. The fact that you've even given it the time, we very much appreciate it. There's one thing I want to ask of you before we go. If you listen to this on Spotify, they have a new rating function on Spotify. Please, 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 please. Don't often beg. I ask all the time, but I don't often beg. I am begging. If you can and you do listen and you use Spotify, please just give it a 5-star. We would very much appreciate it. It means that there are people out there who like it, and it shows to other people.
I think about half our listeners comes for Spotify, so that kind of shows you what we're looking for and what people are wanting to get on it. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who do listen. So if you do listen and you are on Spotify, hit that five stars. Listen, if you think it's shite and give you 1-star, fine. Probably block you forever, but would appreciate it.
If you've got to end the show, they can't begin at 1-star if we go to 50 minutes into a show.
No, that's true. I should do all the asking at the start, shouldn't I?
But yeah.
Then that probably puts people off, though.
No, but if you do all the asking at the start as well, I suppose they might actually go and do it if they think it's shite. But if you get to 50 minutes, then you're going to think it's decent, aren't you?
Aye, but then, I suppose if I do all the asking at the start and it's like 3 minutes of me talking shite, then I might just go, oh, this is pish, and put it off. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, never mind all that. I thank you for a great year and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from me and Mark. All the very best, and we'll catch you in 2022.